Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, ordinarily any weekend where Liverpool and Spurs get a nice home victory each, you'd say that's an amazing weekend, but nobody got any FPL points. So what do we say about this weekend? What a weekend in FPL. Very limited clean sheets. Haaland captaincy fouls left, right and centre. I mean, it was only really
red cards galore.
Red cards galore. You had Saliba and many did. But not a lot of FPL points to shout out about at all, right? At all.
Jota goes off injured. Saliba gets sent off.
Saka not in the squad. Which, of course, the cartel knew about. We didn't.
How did we become part of the cartel?
I know it's been a crap week for FPL, points-wise. But FPL community-wise, it's been hilarious. There has been some absolute gems on FPL Twitter this weekend.
Why was Gianni measuring Saka's height against other players?
Oh, my God.
Is he right? Gianni, are you right?
Gianni absolutely going on one about the Arsenal video of Saka, inverted commas, turning up to...
Also known as Timber.
To the Bournemouth ground. And then Andy Martin, bless him, with one of the tweets of the year. You know, where he's at, you know, he's stood there by the side. Like, all the players have... If any of you haven't seen this video, you've got to go check it out. It's worth being... I'm not a big advocate of being on X at the best of times, but it's worth being on FPLX just for this over the weekend. It was so good. Andy Martin, I applaud you, sir. It was entertainment at its highest order. It was fantastic. But he's out there standing by the sign and sort of like, well, I'm this high, Saka's about this high, therefore I think it's Saka. And that's absolutely fantastic. So good.
Do you know what? I was actually quite pleased on Saturday that I was driving when the deadline was passing. Because
yeah.
I didn't have to get involved in all that stress. And I was with Yelena on Saturday. And I just said to her, I was like, what will be with Saka. Like, yeah. I can't do anything about it. I'm driving the car. I suppose I could. I could have handed my phone to her and said, make an FPL transfer.
Maybe.
But in reality, no one really knew anything, did they?
No.
Like,
no.
I was watching... The thing that made me laugh the most this weekend was when we got to Spurs. We parked in the car park. And obviously the deadline has passed by that point. And Yells is like, look at this picture. And it's just a picture of FPL Harry that he's taken from his stream where he's, holding up a sign that says, no Saka news.
No Saka news. Harry, we love you, mate.
But the thing is, I said to Yells, I was like, this is why you love FPL Harry. Because he just looks like...
Brilliant.
It's the sort of picture that most content creators would go, oh, I'm not even looking at the camera. I'm not smiling. I'm not posting that. Harry... No F's given. He's just like, I don't care what I look like. I've got no Saka news.
And then Boona, absolute... Oh, Boona, I tell you what, he nearly done me.
But he was right.
So, ultimately, yes. But at the time, possibly not. I mean, so he's gone on there and from what I can tell, impersonated a kind of Arsenal journo, right?
Yeah.
And... Oh, it was hilarious. So yes, you went to Spurs with our daughter and with Yelena over the weekend.
That's right.
So the FPL family, Yelena and Az WhatsApp group was quite. The FPL buddies WhatsApp group was quite busy, wasn't it? Because you were posting stuff on the way to Spurs with Yelena and stuff, and Az was at a birthday party. I was doing some stuff with Max, but the group was quite busy, wasn't it?
Hmm.
And Az screenshots that tweet from Boona. And he's like, oh, looks like Saka's out. Just add this from Mark. So Southerns has been done by the tweet.
Yeah.
Sent it to Az. Az has believed it. Sent it to me. I've believed it. Because I'm then looking at my phone going, oh, could I do Saka to Foden?
Yeah.
And before I've had the chance to do it, Az has gone, actually, no, it's Boona. Forget that. Ignore it. So Mark's been done. Az has been done.
But Az did do the Foden thing. Didn't he?
But yeah, so he did make the switch. And this is what makes it even funnier, is that Az, having got done by the Boona tweet, does the switch, then realises it's a hoax from Boona, and then texts me and you on the group and Yelena and goes, actually, it's just a hoax.
But I've done it
because I'm a Muppet. And then everyone goes absolutely in on him on Twitter because he's part of this cartel. He's not, guys. He's not. And nor are we.
Is he leaving? he'd in the cartel.
He's Az is not part of the cartel, but he absolutely did get done by Boona. 100% got done. And as it happens, Foden got an assist and Saka missed out. So all of that nonsense turned out to be the correct thing to do, because Saka actually didn't make the squad at all.
Honestly, it was bonkers.
Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. So, so bizarre. But, yeah, now there's an FPL cartel. We're not in. I've still got Saka.
How did we get invited to the cartel?
I don't know. You'd think with what we do on Sky and stuff, we'd be in the cartel. Apparently we're not. We're not, you know, not cool enough to be in the cartel. Who knows?
I don't think we'll ever be cool enough, to be honest.
Not cool enough to be in the cartel. Get in the chat, guys. Let us know if you're in the cartel. We'll say hello to you. Or maybe not. Maybe you get kicked
Harry's
out.
Harry's not in the cartel either. Shall we start our own?
No, we could be the crappiest cartel.
We have to think of a different name. We can't be called like the other cartel.
I love the word as well, like the cartel. It's like not
there's some drug smuggling,
not just a group of like FPL in the know, not a group of FPL ITKs or anything, just a cartel, you know, the connotations of that. Well, I'm thinking like Narcos and stuff on Netflix. You know what I mean, I'm like, cartel. Absolutely.
They're like in Breaking Bad. They're just like brewing stuff behind the scenes.
I feel like the lighting is a bit weird tonight. Do we look a bit like red on the screen, guys?
Yeah, what's going on like there?
I look very, very shiny head going on.
My
that's
hair is
the light.
Complete wrong colour.
Something's up with the camera. I don't know. I can't bother changing
it. You put their settings on wrong.
Whale is in. Whale is in. He says, worst FPL week ever. Dude, we're going to get to it, mate. Honestly. If you add, like, we are here, guys, for you every Sunday. Rain or shine,
week.
We are not. Apart from next week, so we're not here. Yeah, it's a quick shout out for next week. We're not. We're having a weekend away, aren't we? So no stream next
week.
Which, given that you, Sam Bonfield, when you got back in from Spurs and we were watching the back end of the 3 o'clock kickoff, said that you were thinking maybe possibly of wildcarding next week.
So my.
We've got no stream next week because we're away.
So my. FPL, when we get to my team later, I'll talk you through it.
Go on.
My FPL emotions have been all over the place this weekend.
It's been one of them weeks. It has.
There
yes,
have
it has.
Been highs, there have been lows, there have been, oh my God, I've got a wild card moments. I was planning to triple captain next week and now Haaland's back three in a row.
Well, we've got to talk about him, haven't we?
So there's loads to talk about. And then I've got to find out what exactly is up with Jota. How bad is that? I've got Saliba with his ban. Oh, it's all a bit of a... Saka, how long's he out for? Cartel?
You still got Barco.
He's in the cartel, Barco.
Barco.
Yeah. He sounds like Narco, doesn't he?
Barco? Oh, goodness me. AB is here. How are you doing, mate? Just rushed in. Crazy idea. You're already a mafia family. No, no, mate. We're not. Absolutely not. Nice of you to say so.
But if we were.
We are the least likely to be in a cartel. Andrew Yee. Hey, Andrew. He says, I've done all right this week. 50 points. Mate, that is more than all right this week.
That deserves a clap.
That is more than all right, Andrew Yee. Take your humble brag and get out of here. 50 points. Absolutely fantastic week. Richard's in. Worst FPL year ever. Yeah, he says best he's ever done is 7K and he's currently at 5 million. Richard, listen, it's early days, mate. It still is early days. I know we're going to keep saying this for probably a couple more weeks yet, but it is early days. And we are here, except for next week because we're away, but we are here for you guys every week. Come rain or shine. Doesn't matter whether you've done good, bad or indifferent. And we've both done crap this week. So whatever, we're here. John Tyner's in. I'm on 35 with Aina left. John... I don't think that's
I've
too bad.
I've got a player to go.
I don't think that's
you
too
can,
bad.
You can, you know.
Yeah, Sam, but when your game week is, when your hope is Henderson, you know it's a bad week. When you're sitting there going, I hope Henderson saves my game week.
Yeah.
That's a bad week in FPL. That's a tough week.
So Henderson has to get me 8 points to get me a green arrow.
It's good.
Do you think it's possible?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's possible that he gets a clean sheet, a couple of saves and all 3 bonus points?
Well, it's
possible.
Based on what we've seen, unlikely.
It's unlikely, you know, but it is possible.
It's possible. B is in. Hey, B, how
Hello,
are you doing?
Hello, B.
I'm sure B enjoyed that at the weekend if she was at the Spurs Stadium. 35 points. Thank you, Salah.
That is a triumph.
He's the one. I mean, if you add him, you've done all right. You've done all right. Dan the Man, thank you for the super chat. Hey, guys, voted for you and the pod.
Oh, thank you.
Did you actually do this time? On 225 devices for the FCAs over the past 2 weeks. Dan?
Dan, if you voted for us on two... We're going to win.
I don't believe you, but if you did, thank you very much. That is bonkers and ridiculous. Always enjoy your content. Keep it up. I hope you win and good luck.
Thank you,
Dan. That's mad if you did that. That's
Even
ridiculous.
If you only voted for us once, I'd have said... Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
215? I'll take it.
Absolutely. Ian Smith is in. Can't stop watching the Formula One and NFL. Just saying hi. Ian... given how this FPL week has gone, hi and enjoy the Formula One. And there is a lot of NFL on as well. Although Lewis Hamilton spun out of the Formula One. Second or third lap.
I thought you were about to say, but Lewis Hamilton spun out of the NBA. I was like, I don't think Lewis Hamilton was at the NBA.
We're not even talking about the NBA, Sam. No, we're talking about NFL.
It's all going off.
Whatever.
Too many anachronisms.
Silico is in. Oh, Silico.
What?
18 pointer with Wood and Aina to go. You never know. You never know.
No, they're both blanking.
Why? Because Hendo's getting a clean sheet.
Well, no, actually, Aina can get a clean sheet. What? Yeah, I think it's going to be 0-0.
Could be. Yeah, it could be. John Gaultier is in. Oh, you'll like this one, Sam. 62.
How?
62, John. That is. And B's in. She just says, people with all these points. How? I don't know. I don't know. Who else we got? Optimist Prime is in. Went from 500k to 1 million. It can happen.
Where
it's just
is
one of those weeks.
Because did Sai take hits? Because if this is, if Sai's taken hits this
Let's
week.
Face it, probably.
Then he'd be on minus points for the game week.
Fatally is here. 38 points, up to 150k overall rank. Salah, la la la. Yeah, well, we'll be talking about him in a little while. Joseph Maloney, thank you for the super chat, mate. Very nice to see you. Hey, Sam and Lee. What a crazy FPL week. 30 points with Henderson left. You see, you never... The Henderson
Hendo.
Henderson might save all our weeks, except for me. I haven't got him. Thanks to Mo Salah's 12 points. Yes, did very, very well this week.
I don't like Mo Salah anymore.
Paul Cook is in 25 points this week. Oh, it's mad, isn't it? It's mad. And Danish is in, should I get Brennan Johnson in for Jota tonight? Well, listen, let's start with some of that. As usual, guys, we'll do all the games. We'll look back at the weekend of FPL for, you know, to try and pick from the wreckage of this week of FPL. We'll talk about our teams. We'll talk about possible transfers that we're thinking about coming up into next week.
How would it be tonight? Is Jota going down?
Well, there will be. Let's start with that, right? Let's start with that. Let's get into it, right? Let's get into
What's up
it.
With Jota? How bad is it?
Well, if
you... just got squashed, no?
Let me find... You just got squashed. That's the... Well, official doctor's opinion. Yeah, Jota is out for a few weeks because he's got squashed.
What? A few weeks?
No. So from what I could... Obviously, we've got to wait and see, right? We've just got to wait and see. And by the way, I'm very croaky tonight, so you're going to have to take over.
What's
because
up?
I've had a real croaky throat for a little while. So if my voice goes like this all of a sudden, that'll be why.
If we're all croaky and we're also bright red.
And we are very bright red. So you'll have to take over some of the talking, or most of the talking.
Right.
Arne Slot came out post-match and said, obviously we've got to wait and see, but he come off with some soreness and, you know, yeah, it's a rib injury, what it looks like. So it could be like a bruised rib, could be like a, hopefully not a broken rib. But he did play on and then felt some discomfort. So we don't really know, is the answer. We don't really know until we've heard a bit more from Slot. But what will happen is that you will see Jota being transferred out a bit, I suspect, because you've got some other nice options in that price bracket. What did you make of the game, though? I'll chip in a bit, but I've got to give my voice a break. Liverpool 2, Chelsea 1. Jim, what do you make of it?
I actually thought it was a really good game. From a slightly neutral perspective, because, you know, it's hard to be completely neutral when it's Liverpool, because obviously I want them to do well for you. I thought it was really good. I thought Chelsea played well as well. I thought you played well. I thought it was. I thought there were some individual performances that were good and some that really weren't. Like Curtis Jones, I thought had a fantastic game.
Brilliant, yeah.
Whether you'd pick him in FPL or not, though.
No.
Remains to be seen because he only really started because of McAllister being late back and having some illness on the plane, from what Slot said.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting him to be starting on the regular. Trent's an interesting one because...
Well, yeah, go on then. Let's do the Trent thing. Because, another game where we didn't really see a lot of him from an attacking perspective. And, you know, up until now this season, Liverpool been ticking over the clean sheets. We're a whisker away from getting another one today. But, I agree with you. I thought Chelsea were very good. I'll talk about them in a second. Because he's getting it right, Maresca.
Mm.
Definitely getting it right. They've got something good going on there. And it's just going to take time. And if Chelsea can be patient, and that is a big if,
yeah.
But if they can be patient, they're onto something good there. Because I think they've got a really good system, a really good philosophy. Trent, for the most expensive defender in FPL, we are expecting a little bit more, aren't we? So to come away with a one-pointer is difficult to swallow for us Trent owners.
And the thing is, I think that with somebody like Trent, you are... you definitely are expecting more than 1 point. You are expecting there to be, if a clean sheet doesn't stick, you're expecting attacking returns. Mm. And for 7 million, there are a lot of midfielders that are getting those attacking returns at that price point. And there are a lot of nice options in the cheap defender bracket, particularly over the next few weeks with the fixtures that Ipswich and Wolves and Everton and Spurs have coming up.
Yeah.
There are enough 4.0 to 5 million defenders that actually could save you a significant amount of money. And that helps you to, you know, if Jota is out next week, that would help make Jota. I mean, I could get Foden, I could get Son, I could get... Yeah. Like, there's all of that stuff that can happen. And I think with Trent, it's hard because when you look at him, my expectations are so much higher because of his price point that he comes in. If he was coming in at 6 and he wasn't, and he was, and he'd kept the amount of clean sheets that he's kept and had got the amount of attacking returns that he had, I probably would be less upset about it.
Yeah.
But going into next week against Arsenal, I'm not expecting him to be hugely attacking in that game against Arsenal again. And I wouldn't expect him to keep a clean sheet either away from home at the Emirates next weekend. So he's getting harder and harder to hold, is Trent.
He is, yeah, he is. And I don't think we're even seeing, like, if he wasn't returning the FPL points, but you'd say, the underlying stats look good, the XG, the XA in particular, in the past with Trent, you'd say the XA's been brilliant. It's not, is it? It's not at the minute, is reality. And he's only taking, at best, half the amount of corners because Robbo's on a bunch of corners as well.
He was bad today.
He had a difficult game, Robbo. He had a difficult game. But, and I'll say it again, because Adam Stever, I've just seen you in the chat, is Lee feeling all right being positive about Chelsea? I happily have ripped into Chelsea a number of times over the last 2 years because I just think that the way they've gone about things and that they don't give managers a chance and it's just rubbish, isn't it? They were really good today.
It's just rubbish.
They were really good today. And I thought the shape... I thought Caicedo was fantastic. I mean, are they finally going to get a tune out of Caicedo? And was playing him with Lavia the right thing to do? Did that free Caicedo up to be a bit more gung-ho with his tackles and be a bit more, you know, aggressive off the ball? I don't know. But Caicedo was fantastic. In the end, I thought the game was won or lost on Curtis Jones. I thought Curtis Jones did an absolute job on Palmer.
Yeah,
I thought he did an absolute job on Palmer. And we just stopped him getting the ball. And if you can stop Palmer, you can, to a more or less of a degree, stop Chelsea. Because he's their key creator-in-chief. And when Curtis Jones went off and McAllister come on, McAllister's not really that sort of... Curtis Jones is a proper... You know, he's English, he will put his foot in, he's one of them, isn't he? He's a proper Scouse lad, and he will. That's why we love him, right? He's not technically the best, but he does put it about a little bit. And if Palmer's on the ball, we'll shut him down and tackle him, whereas Mac is a bit more of a cultured World Cup winner, isn't he? And actually, Palmer started dropping a bit deeper, getting more of the ball, and acting much more like a quarterback when Curtis Jones went off. And Chelsea created chances. They could easily have drawn that game, Chelsea.
Yeah.
But what I liked about it was that the Maresca philosophy, even though they were missing Cucurella and they were missing Fofana, Levi Caldwell comes in and does a pretty good job. All right. I felt him and Tosin had a...
It was a difficult game.
It was a difficult game. But then they're up against a very good attacking Liverpool side, right? I thought Reece James actually played pretty well, given that he ain't played for ages. And he's
I was surprised at his fitness levels, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
For somebody that's been out since December.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the young lad Vega did well when he came on as well.
I was surprised.
All in all, Chelsea... For sure on radar, right? Because Newcastle at home next, Man United away, then it's the Arsenal game, Leicester, Villa, Southampton. So they're right in the middle of the ticker. And I don't know about you, but as of game week 12, I know they got that Arsenal away game in 14, but, you know, Newcastle, Man United, Arsenal doesn't scream investment to me. But from game week 12 onwards, Leicester, Villa, Southampton, and then if I was to extend the ticker out, it looks pretty good. I can't imagine I'm not going to have Palmer from game week 12. And I can see why there might be a lot of people, you included, thinking of doing the wildcard in 12. That's one of the windows that's been touted for wildcard. And I guess one of the reasons for thinking that way is because 12 is a bit of a fixture swing for Chelsea and Palmer, right?
It's a big fixture swing window generally across the board. There's a lot of big swings for clubs. The Arsenal fixtures improved quite a lot at that point as well after their little difficult run that they've had over the next couple. The Liverpool fixtures clear up, the Man City fixtures change a bit as well. So you can look at how, I think part of the reason that I've had game week 12 earmarked since the start of the season for wildcard is because it's a premium swing.
Yeah.
The premiums change, the ones that you potentially want to invest in. And maybe there's an opportunity to go without Haaland, and there's an opportunity to instead be going with the likes of Saka and Palmer and have a little bit more of a... rather than having the most expensive, have a couple of the next tier of premiums. So yeah, game week 12 has always been my target. Last week I thought I might hit it, but then Jota did well and it held it. This week I look at it again and I'm like, ugh. The thing is, I'm not doing anything tonight because it is, when you've had a bad game week, it's very easy to...
Knee-jerk.
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
Just a knee-jerk.
Many will.
Well, yeah, but even if you haven't got the wildcard, just a knee-jerk transfers and go, right, I'm done with that player, and then out they go. Whereas actually sometimes the cold light of day, we've got European football in midweek this week. That's going to have an impact as well. Obviously, in terms of Jota, that's almost perfect that Liverpool have got another fixture in midweek, because we will get some more news from Slot in midweek as to what's up with him. So for me, it was a disappointing Liverpool game. Going into it, I was like, okay, I've got Jota and I've got Trent, and that feels like a nice combination of players to have. Mm.
What about Diaz, though? Now, a lot of people asking in the chat about Diaz, so didn't get the start again, and we've seen this, right? We saw it under the Klopp reign when the South American guys have to travel, right? And I don't think anyone was really expecting Nunes to start, but Diaz maybe. But then Gakpo's been playing well, as we say every week, right? So it was a good opportunity. You know, I think Slot in his pre-match conference...
Yeah, he did, yeah.
In his pre-match comments said, you know, it's just about Diaz, you know, and some of the South American boys travelling. McAllister didn't feel too well on the plane and stuff. Diaz came back and felt okay, but Gakpo felt better and looked better in training. So he's just got the option there. I don't know if you'd be investing in Diaz now, would you?
No, I wouldn't. No.
And difficult to do that now.
I think it's difficult. And I think particularly with the Arsenal game up next, and given the way that other... Because this week, let's be honest, the players that did well are the cheaper ones. They're the mid-priced, cheap assets. They're the ones, apart from Salah, that actually return the points for us this week. So there will be a lot of managers that are looking at, particularly if you are like yourself and you've already wildcarded and you're thinking about, how do I get back to a Palmer, or how do I do that if I don't want to lose Saka or whoever else it is that you've got? If you've got a Diaz in your team, knowing that you could potentially take upwards of 3 million out of him now, because he's at 8 million, I think, now, isn't he, Luis Diaz? After some really good game weeks at the start of the season, you could strip almost 3 million out of him, still have a good starting option in that midfield, and then use that money to upgrade somebody else. And 3 million does go a long, long way. And I think for me, I probably would wait it out. I didn't think Gakpo was brilliant today. That's the one thing I would say.
Okay.
I think sometimes I watch Gakpo and I think he's been brilliant. Today, I thought he was okay.
I thought Liverpool just looked okay, though. And I think a lot of that's... I think Chelsea deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, this is more of a statement about Diaz. I don't think... I think this was an opportunity for Gakpo to come in and go, right, I should be starting. And I don't really think he did that. I think he came in and he did fine. But I would expect Diaz to be back in for the next one.
Yeah.
And I certainly, after Darwin's performance, would expect Jota, if fit, to start the next one.
I think you... I will, for once in my life, stand up for him a little bit today, Darwin.
Don't.
Because I think defensively, I actually think he put in a bit of a shift. He was putting himself about a little bit. If you look at some of the duels and the aerial duels that he won, he did all right. He did all right. He wasn't really in the position to score goals, and he made a couple of runs where you're just like, dude, just stay onside. There was one towards the end and the game was coming to an end, but Diaz is in down that side and it's just like, Just hold your run, Darwin. And then Diaz just plays it across. But instead, Diaz did the right thing, which didn't play the pass because he knew that Nunes would be offside and he has to check and go back and recycle it and stuff. And he's just like, he's just not a... I just don't think he's a very smart... He's just not an intelligent footballer, Darwin, really. But anyway, it's enough about him. No one's picking him in FPL, are they? Let's go to what can be described, I think, as the surprise result of the weekend on Saturday.
Thought we was going to Spurs.
After
thought we were
going
to say, let's go to the best result of the weekend.
No, Sam, we are going to build to Spurs. We're going to save that for a bit later on. Instead, we're going to talk about Bournemouth 2, Arsenal 0.
Just to give you some credit for a minute.
Give me some credit?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Okay, go on. I'm waiting.
Well, I got home from Spurs.
Yeah.
With yells.
Yeah.
And you'd done the thing I asked you to do, which was get some chocolate in for when we need it when we get home. You'd done that.
You and Yelena were like, yes.
Get the chocolate in.
Chocolate's in.
And then when we got home, we were sat down and obviously the 3 o'clock's finished. And then you went, do you know what? I fancy Bournemouth.
I did.
And I went,
I did.
Are you mental? You fancy Bournemouth? Yeah. No, I fancy Bournemouth today. 2-0 Bournemouth.
I'll tell you what it was. When you're missing arguably two of your... All right, I was going to say the two best players, but they're two of their best players.
Odegaard
and Saka. When you're, they're not playing. And I looked at that Arsenal front line. I just thought Sterling, Havertz, Marino... Was it Martinelli or Trossard was playing? One or maybe both, I don't know.
Can't remember.
I just saw that Arsenal lineup and I just thought, they can get at that. And Bournemouth are no mugs, right? Bournemouth, I think they're... I looked at some of the stats that Sky put on TV. They love a high press. They are in your face, Bournemouth. Mm. They're hard to play against, right? And I just thought, if Bournemouth can break that Arsenal back line down, because Arsenal didn't have any challenges defensively, right? They had Partey there and the back four and the goalkeeper. So I just thought... This is either going to be 0-0 or, you know, Arsenal going to nick it 1-0. But the red card absolutely changed the game, didn't it?
Yeah,
of course it changed the game. Thoughts on the red? I know you had Saliba, so you're a bit emotional about this one, but was it a red?
It wasn't for me. I just think it's so far out. And there are other defenders. All right, they're not... The one today for me was a red as well. Like, I don't think it matters.
In the Chelsea game, Liverpool.
Yeah. I just don't think it matters how, like, in my mind, you're the last man. I know that there's this thing about, well, can somebody else get back and cover it? But that's fine in terms of stopping the goal-scoring opportunity. But if you're the last man and you take a player out in that way, I think it's a red. So So If you take a player out in that position and there's no one around you, I think it's a red. But
so
if there's somebody there to cover...
Reds or both not reds?
I think they have to be the same.
Mm.
That's my issue.
It's the consistency.
I just don't think that's consistent. Now, I know that people come and they'll say, well, the guy in the Chelsea game today had... There was another Chelsea player in the shot, so he could have covered it. I'm going to sneeze in a minute. but I just think that those two things... were very, very similar. They happened in a very, very similar area on the pitch. And in my mind, it's a consistency thing. If you're going to give the Saliba one, and I was raging about it, but I'm all right with it, like from a game perspective, fine. From an FPL perspective, I was not happy.
That sneeze still coming.
Yeah, but in the Liverpool-Chelsea game, it then isn't given. And I was just like, oh, that bugs me.
Yeah, I thought the Saliba one was, and when it happened, I remember saying to you,
"You were like this."
I remember that's got to be a red.
Yeah, you.
And then he got given the yellow, and I was like, "No, it's definitely a red." And you thought I was winding you up, and I was a little bit, but still,
you were a lot.
No, I was a little bit, but I wasn't winding you up because I didn't think it was a red. I thought it was a red, and I thought if I think it's a red, I'm gonna keep saying it because it's winding you up. So it wasn't like I was just doing it just to wind you up. I did think it was a red. So when it got referred, I was like, right, I mean, if he goes over to the screen here, he's going to give it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was. And the Tosin one, there's other players in the frame, but it's possibly a red as well, isn't it? It's possibly a red. But you're right, it's the consistency. It's a consistency thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, Saliba now has a one-match ban. And I think so. Arsenal have got Champions League during the week rather than a Carabao Cup. So the great news from a Liverpool perspective is that Saliba is now out of the Liverpool game next weekend. How does that affect your thinking around... I mean, you're a Saliba owner. Were you going to bench him next week anyway and just wait for him to come back in? Or what's your plans with him now?
Well, so now I've got a big dilemma, actually, because I wanted to do... This is getting a little bit ahead of myself. But one of my plans for next week was to get Ait Nouri.
Right.
And the player that was going to be sacrificed in order to get Ait Nouri was Pedro Porro.
Ooh.
More on that later when we get to the Spurs game. However, then I thought, oh, okay, well, if Saliba's out for a week, then I could just do Saliba to Ait Nouri.
Mm-hmm.
But that would leave me without an Arsenal defender then for the games that follow until game week 12. Because in reality, the only way I would then have a route back into the Arsenal defence would either be to... Well, I suppose that's not entirely true. I could go Pedro Porro out the week after to an Arsenal defender with the money that's in the bank from the original transfer.
Sure.
Or it's Trent that goes for an Arsenal defender.
What about
defender.
A keeper?
Or... That's the other option.
Right.
Or the other option is that I finally, not for next week, but I finally lose Hendo after he's going to haul Monday night and get Raya instead for a couple of weeks. And then on wildcard, work out how exactly it is I want to invest in Arsenal.
Yeah, Phil Beattie in the chat, he's saying Arsenal fixtures aren't that great leading up to 12,
not.
Sam. You could go without, he's saying. I mean, Liverpool next, as you rightly say, but then away at Newcastle, away at Chelsea.
Just feels not nice to not have...
three games now with no clean sheet for Arsenal since I bought Gabriel in. He's done absolutely naff all.
I know. And so there is... I think instead of selling Porro this week, I will now sell Saliba. And I will, that's one of the transfers I'll make. I'll just do Saliba to Ait Nouri. Because in reality, when I wildcard, I didn't want Saliba anyway. I was going to go to Gabriel at that point.
Mm.
So I might as well lose Saliba now. And then the question I have is, when and how do I reinvest in Arsenal? Do I go, okay, well, Hendo can go for Raya and I'll do that ahead of that little block of fixtures so that I have some Arsenal defensive cover.
Yeah, yeah.
For want of a better way of putting it. Or do I just brave it until game week 12?
Okay.
Not sure yet.
All right. Well, certainly Bournemouth were well worth the win in the end. I mean, the Christie goal was such a well-worked set piece, wasn't it? The way that... you talk about off the training ground. That absolutely was bang off the training ground. That's so, so good. And then the second goal from Clivert was good as well, right? Yeah, all in all, a decent performance from Bournemouth. Impressed with them. I'm not panicking on Arsenal. I've got Saka, obviously kept him. Your mic's just gone dead. I don't know if you've done something to it.
I muted it while I blew
my
nose.
Muted it. Oh, there we go.
I didn't want everyone to have to listen to that.
That's
so
a good idea. That's a good idea. I just saw the little green thing stop flicking. I thought, oh, okay, it's dead. So no panic on Arsenal, right? With Liverpool up next, I've still got Saka because I'm not in a cartel. I've still got Gabriel. It's going to be a difficult one next week because I've got Trent, I've got Diogo Jota, I've got Gabriel, I've got Saka, I've got all these players playing each other. I don't like it, to be honest with you.
I don't know what to do. I mean, and the other thing is that Saka, we need to wait and have some news, don't we? And again, helpful that it's Champions League week because we'll get news on both Saka and Jota. I don't think Arsenal were appealing the Saliba red card. Don't think they've got any ground to.
I don't think they should.
So
I don't think they should.
I think he can probably be sold without too much worry.
The chat is saying, what about selling Saka, Sam? Because you've got, like I said, Liverpool, Newcastle, Chelsea. So in 12, particularly if you're wildcarding in 12.
Yeah, but...
Could you sell Saka for the next three?
Possibly, but also depends on what is going on. So if Jota's injured and out for 9... then I think I'd rather hold Saka even for that fixture and deal with the injured player. Whereas if Saka and Jota are both out, then probably sell them both.
Yeah, Dan the Man saying you can go without Saka for the next three, I reckon. Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
I think it depends on what the rest of your team is looking like, though, doesn't it? Like, if Arteta rules Saka back into contention or if he plays in the Champions League in midweek and is fit, and you've got other issues in your team, so you've got one of the multiple red cards that we had this weekend to deal with, or you've got maybe you've got Danny Welbeck who went off with a back injury, or if you've got, I can't think, there was a couple of injuries this weekend, wasn't there? Jota being one. You're just going to need to be mindful of that. I think it could be a week for just being a little bit patient. And just waiting to see, because we're going to get a lot of word this week with all the European fixtures.
All right. Where else do we want to go then? Let's talk about... you really want to
Should we just have a little moment for Southampton and Leicester, which was arguably the game of the weekend?
Yeah, although I don't know if there's too much to shout about FPL-wise, right? Other than, you know, Saints conceding 3 goals in like that. You know, the last place that we're going to want to go next week is the Etihad. Yes, it was a good game. And I think this game kind of typifies this weekend in football, right? Really good. There's the football this weekend was great to watch.
It was really good.
A great week of Barclays, wasn't it? But FPL was absolute crap.
Everyone was in the mud, but...
So I don't think there's too much to talk about FPL-wise here. But Southampton just look dead and buried, don't they, I'm afraid? And Russell Martin must be a dead man walking. And with Haaland coming up next, despite the three blanks in a row, you ain't selling him. There's absolutely no chance that you can convince me to sell
Haaland.
Would
you still triple captain him?
Well, probably not, you know. Probably not now.
Like, I appreciate that Southampton absolutely fell apart in this one. And actually, this result made me think I'm even more likely to triple captain Haaland, which is why I thought we'd just talk about it for a second. Because when this result was coming through, when we were driving back from Spurs and they were 2-0 up, I was like, oh, blimey, maybe they're like putting up a bit of fight in this game.
Yeah.
For them to capitulate in the way that they did, I was like, no, actually, they're just going to get absolutely done at the Etihad next weekend.
A couple of under-the-radar picks, though. The chat have pointed these out. And it's a fair comments, actually, guys, because a player that you bought in on our sleeper draft a couple of weeks ago, Buana Notte, has now got, and I've got to check this, but Dan the Man is saying he's got 5 returns in his last 5 starts now.
That's right,
which is incredible, right? And he's only 5 million. So Dan's saying, good differential, question mark. I think the answer to that is yes.
Yep.
So Buana Notte, I think, is on radar. For Tawu as well, who I think we sold in sleeper.
Yeah, we did.
He looks the real deal, by the way. And I appreciate it's Southampton. We've got to see what he's like in some of the bigger games. But I thought he was electric, actually, in this game when he came on. So good for Tawu. Very, very good indeed. So a couple of Leicester players may be on the radar. But other
even
than
Harry
this...
Winks got an assist this weekend.
Even Winks got an assist. But other than a couple of Leicester players being on the radar and still continue to target Southampton, there's not a lot to cover FPL-wise in that game, in my opinion. Let's do Wolves 1, Manchester City 2. Stones with another last gasp, not for the first time this season, gets a last gasp winner. 2-1, what do you make of this one?
It's blimmin' annoying, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Yeah, it was a little bit. Yeah.
Unless you're a City fan.
Bit of fight in Wolves, though. And with the reason.
But we said, didn't we? We said that we thought that Wolves. From this moment on, these are the games that Wolves were targeting. These are the ones that Wolves will look at and go, right, between now and like 19 or whenever it is, it's a gorgeous run of fixtures. This will be the moment that Wolves start winning games, because actually, of all the teams in the league, Wolves have had the worst start that they could have asked for in terms of the opposition that they have had to face in these opening 8 weeks of the season.
But there has been signs, hasn't there?
There has been signs. And going into this week, I genuinely think that O'Neill would have said to them, look, we have got nothing to lose here. Nobody has any expectations that we're going to beat the champions. So let's just go and give it our all. And they did. Like, I mean, they were getting... It was a hard game for them. There was a lot of attack from City. The motion lines were very much blue, weren't they, rather than the mustard.
Oh, on the SofaScore app, it felt very one-sided. Yeah.
But there are definitely options at Wolves. So you've got Cunha. Strand Larsen got another goal again today.
Like him, by the way.
I like him too. Ain't Norrie is always attacking and has that threat. And at 4, I don't think he's gone up yet. I think he's still 4.4.
4-4, yeah.
Yeah, he is still looking.
Is he on your radar? Are you going to bring him in, do you think?
Probably for Saliba.
Saliba to Ain't Norrie, yeah. I don't mind it.
Oh, it's probably almost certainly going to happen.
Do we need to rush to bring them in, though? Brighton away, it's not exactly the easiest fixture, is it? I mean, then Palace and Southampton at home, yeah, okay, I can get behind that. But Brighton away?
It's not the easiest fixture in the world, no. I think there's definitely better fixtures, but I do think that they'll take a lot of heart from what happened today. Wolves, and they will see the next couple of weeks as their opportunity to turn their season around, I think.
Okay, all right, yeah, so eyes on Wolves then, because they're looking pretty good from a Man City perspective.
Foden benched again,
yeah, after a lot of the cartel got him in,
didn't they? But then he did get the assist right at the death.
He did, from a corner. Yeah, but he's obviously done something to upset Pep, isn't he?
I just find it really weird. Like, I don't understand it. Like, when the other week when people were talking about him, I was just like, there's something's gone amiss. It must have. And then, obviously, because he goes away with England and he's starting. And I know he didn't start the second game, but he starts the first game. He's come on at the end of the second game. He started him in the Champions League. He started him in the League Cup, but then he's not starting him in the Premier League. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense, particularly at a time when KDB is out, when they don't have Rodri. They're missing a lot of their important, sparky players.
Absolutely, yeah.
And to have a talent like Phil Foden available to you and then decide not to start them,
I think
weird.
I read a stat about Haaland getting something like 4 touches in the box and something like 13 touches all game, right? So he wasn't in the game, and his XG was very, very low. You know, no real chances. The supply lines are gone, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
The supply lines are gone. So you can talk about Rodri, but that, you know, De Bruyne and Foden are his main supply lines.
Yep.
And without them, they have to push it. They have to push it wide, and it goes to Doku, and it goes to Grealish, and it goes to who's the
Bernardo.
Brazilian lad on the right hand side?
Savio.
Savio. All of which are brilliant players, but all of which like to take players on and get a shot away.
Yeah.
Or at best, take players on and, you know, try and cut it back to a Gundogan or somebody running onto it.
Yeah.
So the players that are there to feed, in my opinion, Haaland, are the ones that are not playing. Now, if we get to Southampton at home and actually, you know, KDB apparently is back in training, so he might be available. If Foden starts, for whatever reason, Pep decides to start against Southampton, then, yeah, all of a sudden, you put Haaland triple captain back on radar. But
the difficulty I have now, Lee, though, is going into the next week with Man City, a game like Southampton, who have just absolutely capitulated and conceded 3 against Leicester from a 2-0 lead, you would want to be heavily invested in Man City for that one.
Mm.
But I look at their team, and I know Vardiol got the goal today, so maybe my next comment is about to sound a bit silly, given it was Vardiol and Stones. But the lack of clean sheets for Man City just irritates me.
Mm.
So I don't want a defender, even against Southampton, I don't think I do. Not because I don't think I want them for the Southampton game, because they surely keep a clean sheet in that one. But moving forward after that, I'm not sure that I see that many clean sheets on the horizon again, because they've always got this one goal slip up in them, haven't they?
Mm. They seem to, yeah.
So I don't really fancy what the defenders. So then your automatic reaction is to look at the midfield. So when I'm looking at the midfield, I just don't see how you can pick Foden on the basis. If you've already got him in, then you obviously hold.
Too much of a question
mark.
But
it's too much of a question mark. And same with KDB. If KDB is fit and available, is he coming straight back in or not? Is he going to come off the bench? Is he going to start for 60 minutes, then come off early? What's happening with, like, the others, the Bernardo Silvas, the Dokus, the Grealishes, the Savios? They all feel too risky to buy.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at them and I'm like, well, I've got Haaland. I would really like more for that game, because that's prime. But I just don't see how I can. And I'd really like to triple captain him. But with 3 blanks on the bounce,
difficult, isn't it?
I just don't think I can.
Difficult. I agree. Rico Lewis is getting more and more difficult to own in FPL. But as I always say every week, you know, if I'm going to own a City defender, I'd like to own the cheapest one.
Yeah, that's true.
And he is the cheapest one. Despite the fact that Vardiol, I mean, that is a belter today, isn't it? That's an absolute belter. But and he now has got a couple of goals, so maybe he'll be on radar at some stage. But like you say, you know, for that sort of money, it'd be good if he could keep the old clean sheet. But they're just not doing it, are they?
No, they're
just
not
doing it.
And they weren't last season either, so this isn't new.
Yeah. Wolves then, quickly touch on them, because we've already covered them a little bit. On your radar, Strand Larsen, Cunha, Ryan Aitnori, anybody else?
Well, I'm kind of watching now, because the goalie was on my radar, given all my goalie issues.
Yeah.
But obviously, Sam Johnston was injured today. Didn't make the game because of that. Jose Sarr actually played really well today.
Had a bit of a blinded then.
Played
accounts,
really
yeah.
well
We didn't
today.
Watch this game, did we? We were out.
No,
but,
we
yeah.
went out. So I'm now kind of intrigued as to what happens there, because if Sam Johnston is fit and available, given that actually the first 7 game weeks were terrible, does he go, well, look, Jose, you come in, you've had a fantastic game. Do I give you the nod again in game week 9 against Brighton and see what happens? Maybe. I think it's a little bit risky, but they are, the goalie is definitely on the radar for those fixtures post-Brighton, depending upon which one starts.
Yeah. All right, then. Here we go. Spurs 4.
Is it Spurs time?
It's Spurs time. Spurs 4, West Ham 1. You went to the game with our daughter and with Yelena. You had lemon meringue donuts. You had a lovely time. And Spurs won 4-1. What's not to like? Happy Sam.
I had the best Saturday. I had the best day on Saturday. We didn't get wet. in all that rain that we had. Yeah. We didn't get at all wet. It was beautifully sunny.
B just said, yay, finally. Come on, you Spurs.
I finally got to watch a game where we didn't lose. Evie, that's 10 games she's been to at Spurs. All of them wins.
She's been to
10 games at Spurs. She's won all 10 of them. It's unbelievable. And it was just blimmin' lovely. It was lovely to go down there. I thought after 14 minutes or so when West Ham scored, I was fuming. I was honestly fuming. I sat there and I was like, are you joking? We started really well. We were attacking.
Yeah.
We were all over them. They had one counter-attack and they scored. Mm. And I was furious. And I looked at Pedro Porro, who, by the way, had a fantastic game of football.
You said earlier on in the stream about, you know, maybe you're thinking of selling him, and then you went, but maybe not. I would not be selling him at the minute. Yeah, that was so uncomfortable watching Porro as a non-Porro owner.
It?
Oh my God, yeah, yeah. He was getting forward at every opportunity. Now, he hasn't always done that, week in, week out. But against West Ham, oh yeah, very attacking.
Yeah, but what I can tell you is it was the most blimmin' infuriating thing to watch as an owner. Because every time he went forward, I was like, come on, Porro. Nothing.
Yeah.
I sat there and watched us score four with Porro and Solanke.
And Brennan. No Brennan, no Solanke, no Porro involved.
I haven't got Brennan.
Yeah, but all the key FPL assets, none of them were involved.
100%.
Four goals.
And so what can I say about Spurs? We played really well. Vicario was great, actually. I thought he had a really good game. Defensively, we were solid. Just one annoying goal again. But what I loved is that we got the goal back. And at half time, he made the decision to take Maddison off. Purely tactical. And if you're a Maddison owner, it's frustrating. However, he had got you an attacking return before he went off. Mm. So at least he got something. But that decision changed the game, because we were playing really well, but we just had these moments where they could, if they won the ball, if they turned it over in one of our attacks, they could get through. And they did 2, 3, 4 times in the first half. They got through and they didn't finish them. They finished one, the other three they didn't. In the second half, they just didn't get through because he put Papsar in. We were more stable in that midfield partnership with Biz and Pap in there together. Kulusevski lived the dream in that game. He was absolutely fantastic again. Played so well. And I just think that what you will always get with Spurs is attacking football. We've scored... We're the second highest scoring team in the league? Third highest scoring team in the league?
I think for
XG,
you're up there. I think probably top.
I think we're top for XG, but I think in terms of actual goals that we've scored, we're right up there.
You've got
a
+9 goal difference, which is better than, I think, everybody other than us.
And Chelsea, probably.
And one or two others, I think. Yeah, you're right up there.
Right up there.
Right up there.
So from an attacking perspective, I think... If you are a Brennan Johnson owner, the back end of that game... I don't know how he didn't score.
Yeah.
He basically camped out in the penalty box.
What was interesting is that Ange came out after the game and said that's probably the best game Brennan's had. Of all these games where he's been scoring, that's the best game he's had. And
he didn't
score. The one thing I will say, and I watched this on a bit of Match Today and a bit of actually when it was live. Talk to me about the dynamic of this front three then, because Solanke was doing a lot of what I call the kind of Firmino work. He was doing a lot of the coming deep, and I'm not saying, you know, that's a bad thing, because it worked. Clearly it works.
It worked really well, yeah.
But from an FPL perspective, we don't want him doing that, do we really? And that's a bit of a frustration for his owners, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Solanke owner and it was difficult to watch because I was really torn because I'm watching it from a Spurs perspective and he was brilliant. He was moving players around all over the place. He was working so hard.
Absolutely.
He was battling back. If we lost the ball, you guarantee it was Solanke was there trying to press it and get it back again. He was fantastic from a Spurs perspective. From an FPL perspective, it was really hard to watch because he just wasn't where I wanted him to be. Brennan was where I wanted Solanke to be a lot of the time because Brennan would just make that run into the box and just wait there for the ball.
Mm.
Solanke was often a few feet behind making the run in, but later because he'd been a bit deeper.
Do you think Son being there as well is worse for Brennan?
No, I don't think Son being there has any impact on Brennan.
I disagree.
I think Son being there made Solanke worse. Because when Werner replaced Son, Werner will drop deeper and work harder because he doesn't have any end product. So he will come back and try and be an annoyance. He's not as forward thinking. And that did mean that the other forward players stayed a bit more forward. I don't think Son has a negative impact on Solanke at all. I think Solanke...
Not Solanke, on Brennan.
Oh, on Brennan?
Mm. So my theory is, when Solanke is doing what Solanke's doing in the last few weeks, and he's got a choice, isn't he, who to play in. Do I go left to Werner or right to Brennan? I'm probably going to go right to Brennan, aren't I? Sorry, Solanke. Timo. Solanke, yeah. But against West Ham, he's okay. Well, do I go right to Brennan or left to Son? And he's far more likely, I think, naturally and maybe subconsciously, going to look for Son. And when Son gets the ball as well, we know what he's like. He's an elite finisher and he's quite a selfish finisher. That's not a bad thing, by the way. And if you brought him in this week, fair plays, because you've got a goal and assist and he could have had two goals, more than two.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have had an absolute haul, Sonny. So I think it's worse for Brennan. Because when Timo was in those positions in the past 2 weeks...
I think you've listened too much to James from Planet FPL here, because he says this.
I've not listened to him all weekend.
Oh, he says this. I don't agree with this.
Okay.
I don't agree with this. I don't think that's true. I think what Porro does determines, to a certain extent, how good a game Brennan Johnson has. Because normally, in the last few weeks, when Brennan's been going, Porro hasn't. Porro's held back a bit. We've seen less attacking threat from him. In this one, Porro was more attacking again. And that did mean that Brennan hung wider. He didn't come in as much. And that's less attractive from a Johnson perspective because he's less in the area until the back end of the game. Then he was back in the box again. I think Maddison being on the pitch is helpful for Brennan because Maddison looks for the crossball to Brennan, whereas Kulusevski looks for the crossball to Son. So if Madison's there, I think you get better output from Brennan.
I'm interested. I'm not going to sell Brennan, right? He had an XG of 0.89. So
he was very unlucky.
He's still good. And he's just got, 8-8? I ain't selling him.
Seven.
Trust me, I'm keeping him. But just got my eye on, after the weekend, how Son... Just I've got my eye on that dynamic, that front three, and how Son being there affects Brennan. I think it does.
I think it does.
So I've got my eyes on it.
I think the thing with Spurs is that the fixtures that we have coming up are still really nice.
Absolutely, You're not selling your Spurs, are you?
No. And so I've got Solanke. Do I think Solanke and I've got Porro. Do I think Solanke and Porro are the right assets? No, I don't.
Mm.
I don't think I'm on either of the right assets. I think... If I had my time again choosing Spurs assets, from a defensive perspective, I think I'd have gone Romero.
The camera's just gone to like back to being normal. Like, we'll go to the main page, look at it. Hi, everyone. Now we don't look like we're in the red light district. What the hell? There's a camera's got...
We've got little gremlins tonight.
What changed? I don't know. Did I like wiggle a cable or something? I don't know. Anyway.
Who knows? But I think if I had my time again, I'd go Romero. From a defensive perspective, and I think if I had the choice now of attacking assets, Brennan would still be up there.
Talk about Kulusevski to me then, because I think you've done him a disservice there. You said he was brilliant. I thought he's been absolutely fantastic.
How can you do him a disservice by saying he's brilliant?
He's been better than brilliant, Sam, this season. He's been your best player by a country mile. And I think the way that Ange has played him in that 10 and dropped Maddison back has been nothing short of genius. Kulusevski has been a revelation this season.
Well,
in FPL, though, no one's getting him. Why?
Well, no one's getting him because I think at the time when you were starting to invest in Spurs, Brennan Johnson was on this goal-scoring streak and was the same price as, at that point, roughly, the same price as Kulusevski. So if you can have Brennan Johnson at 6.4, who was scoring a goal for fun every week... Or you could have Kulu for 6.2, 6.3.
You're picking Brennan.
Who was great and playing brilliantly from Spurs, but wasn't returning. You were going Brennan.
Right now, who would you pick, Danish is saying? Kulu of those or two, Johnson?
Even now, I still think I'd go Brennan.
Yeah.
Just because... it's very easy to look at this game because Kulusevski was fantastic and obviously gets the attacking returns in this one. So it's very easy to sit here and go, we'll get Kulu then.
Mm.
But Brennan, he was so unlucky not to have returned in this one. I cannot tell you how unfortunate it was that he didn't for his owners.
Yeah.
And I still think that he, with the form and the confidence that he has, I still think that he is a fantastic bet.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the games this weekend, Sam, that we want to discuss? We want to discuss more another Morgan Rogers goal, although a little bit jammy at Fulham this weekend with Watkins, his able sidekick, chipping in as well for the 3-1.
Watkins was on my sale list this week. It's impossible to do now, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because everyone kept saying, oh, you can't send him ahead of Bournemouth. Whereas I was like, well, I think Bournemouth's quite a hard game.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think Bournemouth's an easy fixture by any stretch of the imagination. And I wanted some money. But now I can just take the money out of Saliba instead. Now he's banned. Absolute plonker. Stupid idiot.
Red cards are plenty here with Anderson and Jaden both getting sent off. But what to say about Villa here? You're not thinking of selling Rodgers or Watkins now, are you? I mean, look at the fixtures.
No, I can't now.
Coming up. I mean, they are still a little bit middle of the road in the longer term. So Bournemouth coming up next at home, which looks okay. Spurs and Liverpool both away.
Yeah, but
10 and 11.
We will concede.
Yeah, but we've got to remember that Villa have got some very, very tough Champions League games in and around these big, big Premier League ties, you know.
But I just think that the way Spurs play, we will give them opportunities. They're the sort of players, Rodgers and Watkins, that will get in behind us. So like, I'm looking at that Bournemouth game thinking, OK, well, maybe there's a goal there. I definitely think they can get something against Spurs. Liverpool's more difficult. You are a much better defence than we are. So that's a more difficult game. And who follows Liverpool?
It is, let me just find them again, Villa, yeah, so Palace at home in 12.
Well, they can definitely get something against Palace. Mm. Now, you are right, though, the Champions League fixtures will have an impact, but equally, we're not seeing rotation because of the Champions League so far.
No, so far, so good, I think. Yeah. So definitely a hole for Villa for next week at least, and then maybe this time next week, if we were here, we'd have that conversation ahead of the two difficult away games. Fulham, though, I don't want to talk. There's not that much I want to discuss from Fulham, but I do want to discuss Raul Jimenez. I do want to discuss Raul Jimenez because I think we have to have the conversation about him.
Mm.
Because that's now, and I haven't got the stats on me, but I'm going to just have a look at it on the app because I did find. Where is he? Raul Jimenez. So he, in the last few games, has taken ages to fire up. So in game week 4, 9 points. 6 points, 9 points, 5 points, 7 points. So he's got returns in his last five. Ticking over, is he not, for a 5.6 player, 5.7 player? Decent.
Hasn't I chatted about him on the Q&A on Thursday on the Scout channel? One of the things that we talked about was Jimenez right now reminds me very much of Jimenez pre-injury at Wolves.
Yeah.
Where he was just solidly ticking the points, never likely to get a massive haul. Just ticks. But when you're 5.6, that's absolutely fine.
I totally agree.
If you're 12, it's not fine to be getting 6 every week. But if you're getting 6, 9, 6, 7, 6, 5, 6.
And what I will say about his performance is that when I've watched him, and this is more of an eye test thing, he could have had more. He had a header that just went wide in this game.
And he won the penalty that they missed.
Yes, absolutely. So even though we're sitting here saying, well, he's ticking over, that's nice. It could easily have been a couple of double-digit holes in there.
But that's always what it was with Wolves. You'd watch him play for Wolves and...
But he was 8, 9 million back then.
Yeah,
he's 5'7 now.
Well, this is what I mean. So you would watch him play for Wolves. He'd tick over at the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-ish points. But every game you'd watch him and you'd think, how's he not got 12, because he really should have had a goal and assist in that one and then would have picked up the bonus points. It feels very similar. Like I feel like we're finally getting that Jimenez back. And when you haven't got to pay 7-8 million, you've got to pay 5.6, he is at a really, really great price point.
And he's got that supply line there, Pereira, he's got Smith Rowe, he's got Traore there as well, that we know he's got a good relationship with. And I'll tell you what, after that Pereira penalty at the weekend that he missed, which was a poor penalty, I mean, there's a chance that Raul Jimenez picks up pens, I don't know. But he's for sure on my radar, and I'll tell you why he is, because I quite like my team structure right now, but I've still got bloody João Pedro, haven't I?
Oh.
I've still got João Pedro on my team.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you've got João Pedro.
If I could find just that little bit more money to go João Pedro to Raul Jimenez, I will absolutely do it. And when I look at the Fulham fixtures coming up, it's Everton, Brentford, Palace and Wolves up next. Spurs away in 13th, obviously difficult, but as you've just said, Spurs will give anyone
like a
chance.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Brighton home in 14. I mean, that fixture run, for someone like Jimenez to bang him in at 5-7, there's a couple of goals in there at least, right? You haven't got to play him every week, but the weeks that you do play him, amazing differential.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, it's difficult.
Properly
because...
going under the radar, I think.
Well, I think also, though, a lot of people find themselves in a position like I'm in, where they've got Havertz. No, I haven't. Where they've got Haaland. So, like, I've got Haaland, Solanke, Watkins.
Watkins, yeah.
And so people will find themselves in that position, or that they've got Haaland, Watkins, Havertz, or Haaland, Havertz, Solanke. Like, they find that they've got these sort of three big hitters in that position.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite hard, because in my head, I was thinking, one of my potential options for transfers this week, pre-Saliba and everything else that's gone off, was to go from Watkins down to somebody in that bracket, whether it be Delap or whether it be Cunha or whether it be Strand Larsen or whether it be Jimenez or whether it's Vissa, who I was waiting to come back. All of these players that are in the kind of 5.5 to 6.5 bracket, there's about four of them. My plan was to go from Watkins down to one of them to free up the money to upgrade elsewhere.
Mm.
At the moment, I can't sell Watkins because he's just...
Bournemouth at home.
He's got Bournemouth at home next, so he's got to stay. Do I want to sell Solanke? I think I want to give Solanke one more game. Because
the next three are good for Spurs. You can't sell him.
And I do just think that with Solanke, if once he gets one, he might just go then, in the same way that he was with consistent
performance. You want to sell Haaland after Southampton?
But you could, well, maybe, but I don't know. I'm not, certainly not going to go Haaland to Jimenez.
I definitely can see a future in for game week 10 when Watkins... So if Watkins, regardless of what he does against Bournemouth, unless he bangs a hat-trick, people will stick with him. But then Spurs away, Liverpool away.
You're right.
I can see in game week 10 a lot of Watkins owners going to someone like a Jimenez.
Yeah.
Especially if Jimenez does well against Everton, but to then fund a Salah or a Palmer, probably Palmer.
I agree.
In reality, I can see that
that's
happening.
That's on my potential list of options. Yeah.
I can see that happening. Camera's gone back to being weird. I don't know what's going on with the camera tonight. Podcasters, you're in the prime position tonight, not having to deal with any of this
don't
camera
have to
nonsense.
See our faces.
What else, Sam? That's probably it. So we've got time for, isn't it? Man United doing well, 2-1. Come out second half. Ten Hag's got a bit
not
more.
We're not having Mbomo again.
Yeah. Well,
dodged another bullet.
United, I thought, actually did all right that second half, to be fair. It was only because De Ligt had to go off for dry blood on his head that Pinnock even got the header in, I thought.
He reminded me of Paul Ince for England.
It was a proper one, wasn't it?
There was blood everywhere. Clara
nice
everywhere.
Little flick from Bruno Fernandes for the goal, and Rashford coming to the party as well. But,
yeah, but
not too much to discuss, no. I don't think. That's it. Don't talk about it anymore. Let's go into... before we do our teams, let's do a quick shout out for... we should do a sleeper promotion, shouldn't we? Sleeper
well, we can't really promotion. Do our sleeper pick'ems, can we?
We can't. There is one person in our sleeper pick'em league on 8 correct answers
wow.
so far. And there's a lot on 7. There's a lot on 7. But we can't announce him or her as the winner. You're quite right. Because... there's still one more game to go. We still got
Hendo's
the Palace
clean
game.
Sheet.
Maybe the Hendo clean sheet against Forest tomorrow
but,
night.
Lee,
go on.
If you do enjoy playing Pick'em, you can sign up now and play the Sleeper Champions League.
Oh, they're doing the Champions League thing now, aren't they? Yeah.
So there is a Champions League Pick'em that is available. So
another
if you
reason
are,
to get the app.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember that this is all completely free. Doesn't cost you anything to do it. All you have to do is pick the results of the fixtures. And you don't even have to say how many goals are going to be scored. It's just who's going to win, who's going to lose, or is it going to be a draw? That's it. Very straightforward. So obviously get your pick and picks in for our league for next week while you're there.
Links are in the description below and all of that.
But whilst you're over there, sign up for the Champions League game, pick the results in the Champions League. There's some great prizes. I can't remember off the top of my head what the prizes are. But if you head over to Sleeper Football, I think it's Sleeper Footy on X, and have a little look, it will tell you the prizes that they have available. There's some really, really nice prizes out there on the Champions League game, and it won't cost you anything to enter.
So, so good. Yeah, so good. We're really, really enjoying being partnered with Sleeper so far this season. They're giving away prizes left, right and centre. Like, every week we're giving stuff away. And those of you that are part of the FPL community and you're following the likes of Gianni and Holly and all the others in the cartel, You'll know that there's, I'm joking. Before Gianni and Holly come at me, I'm joking.
Has Holly sold Tacker? Do we know Holly's in the cartel? I think you might have just thrown her under the bus unnecessarily there.
There's a proper bus I've just thrown. I'm joking, everyone. But if you're following all the other FPL content creators, you'll know there's loads going on with at SleeperFooty over on X. And loads of prizes. They've got PS5s being given away on a weekly basis. We're giving away vouchers and shirts and all sorts
of stuff.
We're
giving away hospitality tickets at the end of this season.
Absolutely. So loads on a weekly basis.
We'll post the little Champions League one on our... So if you do want to take part in the Champions League one, we'll make sure we post one on our X timeline so that you can follow the link and get the Champions League game as well.
Yes, and AB's in saying, what? No top tier production pick and wheel going on today. I'm sorry, AB. No, mate, because the game week has to be finished for us to pick a winner.
We will let you know on socials.
We'll let you know on socials. And I will do the wheel and everything. I'll make sure.
After Hendo's 12-pointer tomorrow, because he's also going to save a penalty. He just called me and said, Sam, I'm getting a clean sheet, free bonus points and save points, and I'm saving a penalty. Thanks, Dean. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Once that happens, then we'll be able to announce our pick and winner and we'll put it on socials.
All right. Okay. And something else that Sleeper are sponsoring. They're sponsoring our Manager of the Month competition. So patreon.com/FPL family.
Hendo's getting sent off.
And you're
going
to have to take over here because my voice is going. I've been speaking too much tonight. Tell everybody about our Manager of the Month competition.
So we have a Manager of the Month competition. Every month we reset from zero. So it doesn't matter if you are having the world's worst FPL season or if you're having the best FPL season. It's all about what happens in that one month. So at the moment, we are currently in the October Manager of the Month competition. Obviously, that will run until next week. Every week, the scores will be added up and the winner of that league will receive a $100 voucher alongside a football shirt of your choice. And if you also come second or third, thanks to Sleeper this year, we've been able to extend the prizes. So last year, it just used to be a shirt of your choice. This year, it's a shirt and a voucher for the winner. But second and third place also get a football shirt of your choice and we get those sent out to you. So that will cost $5 if you want to join that. And be part of that tier. We also have our Ohana tier, which gives you access to our Slack community. It's our basic entry one, as well as our free Ohana podcast, which goes out to all of our patrons. Or if you really love us and you want to chat to us a bit more, you can join us at Zoom tier level, which gives you access to all of the things I've just mentioned, including the Manager of the Month competitions. But it also gets you two Zoom conversations with either Lee or myself, or you can have one with each of us if you like.
Absolutely.
At whichever point in the season you want. Generally speaking, people do it around wildcards. I did four this week. It was lovely chatting
to you.
Yeah, I was really busy with wildcards. It's lovely. It's lovely chatting to everybody. So if you want to chat to us and have some personal feedback on your team, sign up at the Zoom tier.
That's where you can find it. patreon.com/FPL family. All the links are in the description below. All right, Sam, let's talk about teams. How did you get on this week? Look at that Saliba -3. That is not good. That is not good.
No, but he's a pain in the backside.
Talk to
me
about your team. 29 points this week.
Mm. 8 points off a green arrow.
Eight. With Henderson to go.
With Henderson to go.
In case you hadn't figured that out over the course of tonight's show, guys, Henderson still to go.
So obviously I'm not part of any cartel. I didn't get any news on Saka. So I did not do anything about him. So
there's people in the chat saying there should be a vote for me and you to be the head of the new cartel bosses. We should be the new cartel bosses.
We'd be terrible. We don't get any news.
We don't get any news. So yeah, it'd be
we'd be the
cartel,
worst cartel bosses ever. So yeah, so I've still got Saka. And annoyingly, Robinson. So there is a moment, Lee, you haven't seen it yet, because I don't think Yael was put out of vlog yet. She was vlogging while we were driving back.
Right.
When Aston Villa scored their third and we'd just done a bit. I was driving down the M25 and she said something about who have you got coming on for Saka, and I was like, Robinson. And then immediately Aston Villa scored their third and I was like, brilliant, Robinson. you just conceded three, you absolute idiot. You're going to get one. And then he did. And then I was even more annoyed when I got home and Harry Winks got an assist and I was like, are you joking?
Oh,
a second sub.
Oh, he's got a throw. I didn't even spot that from Harry Winks. He got an assist, Harry Winks.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Don't you remember how raging I was when Leicester's third goal went
in? Did he get an assist? Oh, from the, he took the corner, did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
the okay. last goal, I was so cross. Anyway, so I need Dean Henderson to get 8 points tomorrow. Saliba has just wound me up massively, to be honest. Because actually, I wasn't doing that bad. I was on a green arrow on Saturday until, even with Saliba getting sent off, Salah's killed me today. Everything else today, like, because I had Rodgers, who did fine. I had Watkins. I had, who else did I have that did something? I had three.
Rodgers
and Watkins. McNeil. I had McNeil, who got an assist. So I was actually doing all right on Saturday. I was on a green arrow. And then today I thought, right, well, I've got Trent, I've got Jota, and I've got Haaland as my captain. Surely them three are going to bring points. Yeah. 1 point for Jota, 1 point for Trent, and 2 points, double to 4 points for Haaland. Just a disaster. So basically, Hendo needs a haul tomorrow. But to be honest, if I end up on a red this week, it kind of feels like everyone's had a stinker. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Just take it and get on with it.
Yeah, I didn't get any knowledge. Nobody told me.
It wouldn't have made that much difference if you did. If you were in the cartel and we'd done Saka to Foden, big deal. I mean, those that did Saka to Son.
So that is the one thing that I
was never thinking Son, were you?
I might have, because I was going there.
Were you?
I might have, because maybe. I was going to the game. It's the sort of thing that had we got that news, I might, and because I knew Son was starting, like, there was all the Spurs chat were like, oh, Spurs, Son's back in the starting 11 today. So I was like, I might have done it. But to be honest, it would have had to have been complete guaranteed Saka's not playing for me to have done it. And we weren't ever getting that.
No.
So no. I wasn't going to do it.
I don't think so. All right, well, a red arrow for now, except when Henderson saves his two penalties tomorrow.
You wait. If he saves two penalties tomorrow, come find me on Instagram. I'll go live.
Overall rank of 1.4, starting to get concerned about that, or still okay and not looking at overall rank?
Well, no, because I've lost 0.4 million because of the cartel.
Oh, dear.
If Hendo goes off tomorrow and gets 10, then all I'll right. be inside the top million. I'm not worried. Game week 10, I'll start worrying about it.
All right. Okay. We'll talk about my team in just a second. We had a super chat from Liam. Hey, Liam. Nice to see you, mate.
Liam.
He says, evening, Lee and Sam. Hope you're well. We are, mate. Thank you.
We are good.
He says, been a difficult week for everyone connected with Bristol City. Yeah, I saw that news.
Oh, it's horrible.
That's really sad news for... Manning, isn't it? Is it Liam Manning?
Liam Manning.
So... yeah, if you haven't seen that, guys, you can find it on news or Twitter
thoughts
or whatever.
With him and also with Steve Bruce and his little grandson as well this week. It's been a horrible week.
Yeah,
and Liam Payne.
Yeah, but best horrible. Of luck to Mr. Manning and his family. It was sad news, mate. You're absolutely right. It was sad news. Let's talk about my team then. 32, so not that much better, to be honest, and a reasonable size red arrow down to 780k. Only had 10 players. So,
10?
Well, only had 10, right? So, Greaves didn't play, and apparently he's out for a while now. Not that we all know about that. He's out for a month, apparently, Greaves.
Eh?
Yeah, apparently. Great.
What's up with him?
I didn't know about that, but he's out.
Did the cartel know?
They bloody did. I know I swore there.
I bet they did.
The cartel knew about Greaves.
I bet they knew.
They knew about Greaves, and they didn't bloody tell me.
Greaves is probably part of the cartel.
Possibly. I'm waiting for a Boona tweet about him, and then Az can tell me. Konsa didn't show up, so he was on the bench, although I think he's going to be all right. João Pedro is an issue that I should have dealt with weeks ago, but never did. So he's been sitting there as well. And then, of course, Saka didn't show up either. So I've played with 10. And to be honest, it's been absolutely dreadful.
To get 32 from 10, though, I don't think it's too bad this week.
Well, it doesn't feel too bad. Yeah, and actually, you know, when I look at Flecken's 4, that's actually, you know, round of applause for Flecken's 4. I quite take it, you know. And then Watkins 8, Roger, it's the Villa boys that are...
Flecken's 4,
it's, well, it's the Villa boys that are keeping my head above water. If I didn't have Watkins this week, it'd be an absolute disaster. Anyway, yeah, 32 with 10 played. What I've got to do now, though, is I've got to think about my squad, haven't I? I've got to think about my squad. So I've not dealt with João Pedro for ages, and now it's bitten me, isn't it? Because I've had a bit of bad luck with Konsa and Greaves and with Saka, and the fact that I've not dealt with João Pedro and got a 15 squad has bitten me. So I've got 2 free transfers going into next week, and I've got to think about what I do to get a more balanced squad. I've got to get rid of João Pedro. And that's why I asked you the question earlier about Raúl Jiménez. Because I don't mind it. I got my eye on him, and I got my eye on Strand Larsen as well for João Pedro. But I do like Raul Jimenez because I think he's going massively under the radar and could have had a couple of double-digit holes. So I am thinking about him, no doubt. I'm probably going to have to do something with Greaves. I might even want to do something with Konsa, although I think he might be coming back.
I think, yeah, but the point is with Konsa is that he is coming back, but the fixtures don't look great for clean sheets.
No, it's those two away games that we mentioned, right? So I could easily do a Konsa to 8 Nori or something like that as a bit of a sideways move, but it doesn't feel sideways, does it? I've also got a potentially a Jota problem. We don't know, you know, is Saka going to be back? You know, I don't know and I won't know. Because
do you know what you need?
To be in the... I know, I understand. We all know where we need to be.
Can the cartel get you another wild card? Because that's what you really need.
I doesn't need another wild card. I've got two free transfers. I've got to do João Pedro to Jimenez and then I've got to fund it somehow. But I can't do Greaves to anybody, can I? Because I, you know...
Why not?
Well, it needs to be Greaves to a 3.8 and there isn't any. Because I've got nothing in the bank.
Uh-oh.
Nothing in the bank. So I'm in a bit of a sticky situation. But we'll think, like you said, no knee-jerk moves. I'm just going to... figure
Champions
it out
League.
As,
I mean, if Haaland gets injured in the Champions League, then you got loads of money.
Yes, but won't we all? Do you know what I mean? And Haaland's not going to get injured in the Champions League, so I don't know why you'd put something like that out there.
No, but what I'm saying is that my point wasn't that Haaland might get injured. It was just that if it's a big week this week, there's lots of European football, as we've mentioned.
Mm.
Therefore, don't do anything too rash too soon. Because,
no, I'm not going to.
You know, we'll have news on Saka, we'll have news on Jota, we'll be able to watch... also our Villa boys and our Man City boys and all of that. So it's just a case of like, be calm, be chill.
Yeah, I think so.
And
but
then make moves.
Listen, 780k is still
okay.
Not great, but it's fine.
It's fine. No problem.
Two free transfers going to next week. We'll see how it goes. But like you say, no knee-jerk reactions. And the rest of it's fine. Like, I'm happy with Johnson in there. Rodgers and Watkins, like, they're the saviours this week. No doubt about it. And I'm obviously not selling my City assets ahead of Southampton at home. I looked at my bus team. And it all looks good, except for the fact that Liverpool play Arsenal. That's a problem. Because you've got Saka, Gabriel, Trent and Jota all playing each other. And I don't like it at all. I don't like it. But, you know, it is what it is. Nigel the Crab, thank you for the super chat. He says, I'm working in Germany this week. Annual FPL cartel meetup is here. Saka's here as well. FPL community makes me laugh sometimes. I mean, if we were going to end it on anything, I think that's where we're going to end it, isn't it? I mean, oh my God, seriously, the cartel stuff this week's been absolutely
It has been brilliant.
It's made me laugh so much.
But equally, also, I know that for some of them, it has really upset them this week because genuinely, they don't have any information. They're just acting on the same stuff that we all saw on Twitter. That's it.
Yeah, I know. I know it has got to a lot of people, so we shouldn't maybe take the piss out of it quite as much as we have done. But the fact that people think there is one just makes me laugh. What's coming up this week, Sam, other than you going out to Germany to join Nigel the Crab and the cartel with Saka?
No, I'm not going to Germany, but I am going to France. So, yes, we are going for a little jolly next weekend to celebrate somebody's birthday. Yes, I know it was a little while ago, but we are going on a little jolly for Lee's 40th, so we won't be around next Sunday. So I'll give you a little update on what's happening this week and next week, because we won't be here next Sunday. So this week's actually a bit of a quieter week for us because we are not about. So it's just the FPL pod for me this week, and I'll still be doing the Q&A with Vaz because, you know, I have to find
Got
out.
To.
I have to
Got
find
to.
Out what's going on with him. Got to have an update from him this week because hilarious. And then the week after will be busier. So the week after I'm back
Who's
on.
It? Sorry to cut across you. Is there any chance Az is doing off the bench this week?
Oh no, it's Harry.
It's Harry.
And he's had
a stinker, isn't he?
Mm.
And Chelsea have lost.
Mm.
He won't be happy.
He's on with Oscar.
He won't be a happy Harry.
Don't know how Oscar's got on.
Not great either, I don't think. Not
Sorry,
either.
Boys. Well, they'll be on off the bench on Tuesday. I'll be back with Jules and Kelly. Jules has an absolute stinker on Saturday. He's been saved by Salah and Jackson today because he was on 10 from...
10?
Yeah, it was on 10 after Saturday because he had Areola with an own goal. Then he had Saliba get sent off.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, Areola own goal. We haven't even spoken about the bloody Son assist, have we?
No, let's not. And then the week after...
you're just going to avoid that altogether, not... are you? Brilliant.
Well, I don't understand it, so I can't talk about it because I don't understand it.
It's
I just don't understand how it's
an
joke. Assist. But anyway, let's not talk about it.
I thought you had power over these things, no?
I'm not in the cartel!
Brilliant.
The week after, I'm back on the Fantasy Show on Friday. And then on Saturday, we're back together on Sky. So Next week you'll miss us. The week after you'll see us quite a bit.
Very good. All right. Well, listen, thank you all for joining us tonight. Podcasters, this won't mean anything to you, but YouTubers, thanks for sticking with this weird camera thing that's been going on tonight. At some stages, it's been fine.
I'm sure we didn't look like that when we set it up.
Other stages, we've just looked really red. It's very bizarre. Thanks for sticking with it. If you've enjoyed this stream, leave us a like before you go and all that sort of good stuff. If you're new to FPL Family, hit that subscribe button so you know when we're live next. Like Sam says, we won't be here next week because we're going to be in France, but the week after, we will be back to sort through the wreckage of what will have been game week...
Nine.
Is that nine already?
Well, no. Next week will be nine. So we'll have to go... It'll be 10 by the next time we're here.
It'll be game week 10 by the next
time. That's when I keep saying I have to start paying attention to my rank.
I remember you saying a few weeks ago, game week 10, that's when you start...
panicking.
Actually thinking about your rank.
Well, I'll start to panic if I'm still where I am now.
Wow.
I've got to have two good game weeks. It's game week 13 that I really start looking at my rank.
Yeah, it's going to keep going back and back and back, isn't it? Back and back and back. Thank you for joining us tonight, guys. Leave us a like, hit that subscribe, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.